In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
We celebrate in the church this week a feast that probably not known outside the Orthodox Church, maybe even barely known within the Orthodox Church, because it doesn't occur in the Bible, but from other historical sources. And that feast is called the Entrance of the Virgin Mary into the Temple. And the story is that Mary's parents, Joachim and Anna, were very old, and they had never been able to have children. And so at a point in their lives when they were both praying their usual daily prayers, an angel came and spoke to each of them separately and told them that they would have a baby girl. And they were, of course, shocked, surprised, happy, joyful. And both being advanced in years and dedicated to God, they realized that this child, who would be the mother of the Messiah, would be better raised in the temple. And so they promised God that when she was 3 years old, they would dedicate her to the temple, where occasionally that would happen. There were parentless children sometimes were raised there. And so Mary was taken to the temple when she was 3 years old, received by the other girls that lived there and by the priest Zachariah. And the front of your bulletin has an image of that. The icon in the middle of the church has an image of that. And so today we celebrate that presentation, that entrance of the Virgin Mary into the temple when she was 3 years old, where she would live until she was ready to get married. And while that's a nice story, it doesn't seem to have enough energy to be one of the 12 major feast days of the church by itself. But if we understand its history, if we understand some of the deeper meaning, it just jumps out at us. You have to go back in time hundreds of years before this event to really get what's going on. We heard a little bit about it in the epistle today. In the Old Testament temple, there was the holy place. And then inside of the holy place, there was what was called the Holy of Holies, which was sealed off by a curtain from the rest of the temple. And inside the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. And inside the Ark of the Covenant was a jar that contained the manna, a little bit of manna, this bread that had come down from heaven, and the tablets of the law, the stone tablets that Moses actually received on Mount Sinai when he received the Ten Commandments. And so if you think about the temple, the focus of the temple is the Holy of Holies. The focus of the Holy of Holies is this Ark of the Covenant. The focus of the Ark of the Covenant is this presence of God in the very center. Its whole focus was drawn towards this one place. Well, along came a king named Nebuchadnezzar, and he destroyed the nation of Israel. He destroyed the temple. The Ark of the Covenant was lost and never found. Nobody knows where it is. The tablets were destroyed. The manna was destroyed. And for 40 years, Israelites lived in captivity in Babylon. And then after 40 years, another king let them go back to Israel. And the first thing they do when they get there, after they are get over the destruction that's left, is they rebuild the temple. First thing they do is they rebuild the temple before they even rebuild the city. They have their tents to live in. They rebuild the temple, and they rebuild it just like it was designed to be. And they built the Holy of Holies with a curtain. But in the very center, the very heart, the very focus, they don't rebuild the Ark of the Covenant because there is nothing to put inside of it. Why have an Ark of the Covenant? Why have this golden box with the cherubim on top of it if there is no manna, no bread of God, and no tablets, no word of God to put into it? And so they have this temple, they have the Holy of Holies, but the Holy of Holies is empty. And so along comes this little three-year-old girl into the temple, who, when she is of age, receives by the Holy Spirit the very Son of God. She receives in her body Christ incarnate, who is, as we know, the Word of God, who is, as we know, the bread of God. And so we would say that this Holy of Holies was left empty because we were no longer going to be filling it with earthly stone tablets. We are no longer going to be filling it with earthly bread, but God kept it empty on purpose so that when the day came that the mother of his Messiah, that he was going to send his son into the world, when the day came, it would be ready to receive a new Ark of the Covenant. This time, not a gold box, but a living person. If you're going to have a living Son of God, the living Son of God needs a living container, was Mary the Virgin. And so this feast day takes on a vast importance when we understand that she's going into the temple not just to live there, but to contain the very Son of God himself, to contain the Word of God and the bread of God. One little other thing I think that's equally important for us, this feast day is put at the beginning of Advent. You know, we get into the Advent season this week and bang, we're already confronted with this major feast day. And that's not by accident either. What do we celebrate? The word Advent means the arrival. What are we celebrating, of course, with Advent is the coming of the Savior Jesus Christ. And so this feast day is given to us, showing us that Mary has come to be the container, to be the living ark, the living box, the living chamber, the living temple of the Son of God. And then we're celebrating the coming of the Son of God. And so it's a signpost to us that we had better get ready also to be the living chambers of the Son of God, the living temples of God. It's given to us saying, hey, folks, you got 40 days. Christ is coming. Are you ready to be a living temple? Because Christ didn't just come to Mary. He came to her first, but he comes to the whole world. He comes to everybody that's willing to receive him. You know, one of the things we do at Christmas time, of course, is exchange gifts. And our daughter Rachel used to, when she was in middle school and high school, used to spend so much time on the wrapping. You know, she would get the wrapping paper just so. She would buy these lace bows. She would get everything. She'd spend more time on the wrapping paper than she would on the gift itself. Not that those were unimportant. And I think that's kind of a symbol to us. There's people that just love wrapping. You want the right gift bag or the right wrapping paper. There's a reason we do that, because the container that holds the gift can sometimes have maybe not as much value as the gift, but it's certainly an important part of the gift. And likewise, Christ himself is the gift, but he wants us to be ready for him. He wants us to be beautiful for him. He wants us to be places where he can dwell and that the world can see that something wonderful is inside. So as we begin this final approach to our Lord's Nativity, the church gives us this feast of the entrance of the Virgin Mary into the temple. Not just that she's going to go live there, but that she's going to go become this ark, this container that's going to hold the Word and bread of God. And then also gives us this feast so that we can have this warning, this signpost, this time of preparation, that it's not just a holiday we're celebrating, it's not just any old birth, but that Christ is coming, and we are called to be and able to be living temples worthy of his presence. Amen.